This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins me on the program every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. Been looking forward to talking to you today. Bob, how was your weekend?
It was great, Coy. How was yours?
Very good.
What a wonderful weather weekend we had.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be rainy and cold, and it wasn't that bad. We had some nice sunshine, and I'm ready for 95-degree weather, though. Bring it on.
Yeah, I don't mind that hot weather either.
So. Yeah. We have a lot to talk about today, and let's get right to it. The website is virginiatomorrow.com. Let us begin. I was just talking about him. Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, what's the latest?
Well, you know that Cuccinelli is back with the professors again on round two. This time, clearly something that's been very of much interest to people at UVA, and that is that he's requesting documents related to the work of a former UVA climate researcher, Dr. Mann, who's now at Penn State. And clearly the search in the documents is to determine whether or not there may have been any fraud committed in this kind of climate research. This has provoked just a vigorous reaction, not only at UVA from the Faculty Senate, but from 19 members of the faculty at ODU and the spokesperson for the National American Association of University Professors, all saying that this smacks of McCarthyism and violates basic tenets of academic freedom. And what he's done, what the Attorney General has done essentially, is that he's basically implying that one can't take the academic arguments about self-policing and the fact that they said they have already looked into Dr. Mann's research and saw no fraud or misconduct there. And the Attorney General is essentially saying you can't take that at face value, that he has to make an independent judgment on his own, and that has angered the professors nationwide very, very substantially, and we're going to hear a lot more about this.
Does this happen across the country? Is this a normal thing for an attorney general to just go fishing in the papers of a professor?
Well, I think he would claim he's not simply going fishing. I think he, you know, the attorney general is arguing is that there has been some recognition that certain unfavorable facts, you might say, to the global warming argument were either ignored or were discussed about whether they should be ignored in some emails among climate researchers. And so now he wants to basically suggest, because he has a suit against the EPA, essentially, in which he says that the EPA regulations is based on this faulty science, and he wants to look at it here in Virginia. This is not at all common. That's why it has provoked, I think, such a major reaction. It's not the kind of, or you might say, sexy issue that the anti-discrimination letter was, but to academics, they actually find it more important because they believe that their research should be able to move wherever their ideas take them, and that's why you have these people out there arguing that there's a chilling effect. And what Ken Cuccinelli is essentially saying is that government money was probably spent in one way or another on this research, and he has a duty to the taxpayers to make sure that it wasn't spent fraudulently.
Thomas Jefferson's vision for the University of Virginia, he said, for here we are not afraid to follow truth wherever it may lead, so long as reason is left to combat it. Bob, what's the political implications of this, this move?
You know, it's so hard to figure out completely, but here's what I think, that on one hand, all this is doing is reinforcing in some ways both the opposition and support that the Attorney General already has. The people who have disliked him over the letter now have found another reason to dislike him. I think it's a very complicated issue for the business community that supports Virginia's colleges and universities very strongly. My sense is that it's going to make it a little more difficult for Ken Cuccinelli to raise funds from those elements in the business community down the road. At the same time, among the Republican activist base, my sense is that it reinforces the perception that Cuccinelli is the real deal as a conservative. He's not a guy to trim his values. He's willing to take on these big players. He's willing to take on these academics who so often act so arrogant as if they don't have to come under any scrutiny at all. And so in an interesting way, Cuccinelli has probably reinforced both his opposition and his support by this move.
Which would make it him a stronger, viable candidate for the nomination for the next governor?
Well, you know, he continues to say that he hasn't even thought about that. He's thinking at the moment about whether he wants to run for attorney general again. But he takes so much of the oxygen up among the activist base that he really has this flair for hitting these hot-button issues that are very controversial, in which much of the activist base is 100% or 150% behind him. So my sense is that he remains the politician to watch in the next 4 years, and particularly whether or not he decides to take on Bill Bowling, who last week already announced he's running for governor in 2013, trying to clear the field, trying to get all these commitments to Bowling long before Cuccinelli actually makes a decision about whether to enter a race.
Interesting. We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Join the conversation at any time. Bob, you wrote recently about access and affordability for Virginia higher education.
Yeah, Coy, you know, what I was thinking is that if you take a look at all these controversies that are, you know, coursing through Virginia about higher ed, that you've had the controversy about the anti-discrimination letter, about whether or not colleges or universities can put in their own policies prohibitions against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Now you have this controversy about climate research, and they're getting a lot of attention. But my sense is that if there was a political figure in Virginia who really started talking about the need to keep universities affordable, to maintain access for Virginians to Virginians' best universities, what you'd find is that that political figure would become very popular very quickly. Because my sense is that the general public cares far more about affordability, for example, right now, than it does about what happened to climate research 6 years ago or 5 years ago when somebody else, when some professor was working at UVA who's now in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, most of those Virginians who swing elections left and right, most of the folks like me who are in the middle and tend to vote on both sides of those issues, we would care more about making college affordable for our children than we would about some climate professor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you see tuitions going up 15%, 24%, 11%, 10%, and you're thinking about, you know, this tough economic climate, what it's going to cost to send your child to college, or if you're one of those folks, you know, a child or a kid himself or a 20-year-old who's working two jobs to pay her way through school, one of the things that you're going to care about is affordability. And my sense is that that argument, at least over the last couple of months, doesn't seem to be very, very visible. And that's the issue that I think somebody can ride to office on.
It's 14 minutes before 5 o'clock. We're talking live with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. The phone line's open for you at 977-1070. It's a local call. We are live. This is where Charlottesville comes to talk. Bob, we had elections across Virginia last Tuesday, a week ago tomorrow. Local elections, a lot of school boards and city councils. What was the takeaway from last Tuesday?
Well, it was hard to make a single takeaway because it was such a mixed bag. There were a number of places, for example, where incumbents were defeated, but that's not entirely uncommon in local elections, that local officials tend to be far more vulnerable than, for example, people running for the Virginia State Senate. Incumbents win a much higher percentage at the state level than they actually do in the local level. So I was looking to see whether or not there was any big wave sweeping Virginia, some huge discontent with incumbents that went beyond anything that we had seen before. And as a matter of fact, I didn't see that in the local elections last week. Now, clearly these were all low turnout elections. Maybe we shouldn't look too far.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I didn't really see a huge message there. I think the Democrats are hoping there's no huge message this November. Because if there is one, it's very likely to be an anti-democratic message.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open. Frank joins the program. He's in Charlottesville. Frank, you're on with Bob Holsworth. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I apologize. I had to step away from radio in the middle of your last comments, but I wondered if you see a long-term agenda for our Attorney General in his actions, and also, what do you think our governor thinks of what he's doing? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the call. Bob?
Oh, two great questions there. You know, the first, is there a long-term agenda? I think obviously so. You know, clearly I think that the Attorney General is trying to become one of the most prominent Republican figures in state government across the country, largely by arguing against federal overreach and by supporting conservative positions in what you might consider the culture war. I think there's a pretty big constituency for that. I'm not sure it's a majority of the citizenry. But my sense is that the Attorney General has had a remarkable impact in this manner, you know, simply being in office 120 days or how many days, or probably less than that right now still. Now, what does the governor think of that? And this is an interesting case because on some issues they seem to be absolutely in line. If you take a look at their feelings about climate control per se, not what he's done with universities, I think they both have reservations. If you take a look about the health care suit, both the governor and the lieutenant governor has endorsed it. But, you know, Bob McDonnell, on the other hand, really is getting ready to appoint a higher education commission trying to improve the quality of higher ed and the quality of research in Virginia. And he's probably not too pleased that a Republican attorney general is involved in a pitched battle that is likely to receive or is receiving national attention with the universities. And particularly if this battle moves away from sort of being personalized about what Cuccinelli is doing, because the more the story gets nationalized, the more it'll become Virginia's attack on science that the national media will write about, rather than what's happening simply with the Attorney General. So I think my sense is that Bob McDonnell's probably pretty pleased with some places Ken Cuccinelli's going. He's probably not so happy with others. And like everybody else, I think he's probably a little uncertain and a little unsettled about exactly where this is all going to wind up and how it's going to impact him.
Frank, great call. Thank you. Thank you for the call. We got a line open, 977-1070. We're talking with Bob Holsworth here at 10 minutes before the hour of 5 p.m. A little Virginia politics, as we are wont to do on Monday afternoons. So, Bob, what's the future of offshore drilling for Virginia after the tragedy down in the Gulf?
You know, Governor McDonnell went to Houston last week, and he argued, along with many other people, that what we need to do is to learn about what happened. We have to find some ways of ensuring that it doesn't happen again. We have to fix the problem and move forward, and that we ought to do that in Virginia as well. My sense is that the political momentum for offshore drilling is now stalled almost entirely as a result of this tragedy in the Gulf, that it's going to be very, very difficult for me to see that all the steps that need to be taken for Virginia, not only to drill, but to be able to acquire the royalties from that drilling in the manner that the Gulf states do, to take place in anything resembling a short time frame. That my guess is that everything has been delayed. I can't imagine that, you know, in the next year or two, we're going to see the U.S. Congress vote to give Virginia not only the, you know, royalties, but the royalties at 30% level or something like that. So if anybody's waiting for offshore drilling money to be filling the coffers in Virginia, I think all of that, those hopes were washed ashore, you might say, in this tragedy in the Gulf.
Yeah, and that's my big concern about it, because personally, I'm not opposed to it. There's got to be a safe way to do it. I think it should be regulated and done safely. And we know there are safe ways to do it. It can be done. But so I'm not personally opposed to it. But what concerns me is, you know, oil's now a huge international commodity. This spike in oil, I mean, 60 Minutes has proved it. Investigative journalists have shown conclusively that the increase in the oil is not due to supply and demand. It's due to speculation on the part of investors. And this oil that we take out of off Virginia's coast is just going to disappear into this, you know, international trading floor. And I wonder how much of that money will actually get into our schools and our roads and public safety.
Coy, a lot would have to be done, because it doesn't automatically come to Virginia. But what you would have to have is that you would have to essentially have a congressional act which would say what percentage of royalties would come to the state. And the fact there is that it was always going to be a relatively uphill climb in getting some of the inland non-coastal states, states that wouldn't be benefiting from offshore drilling, basically to say that Virginia should be able to get a very good deal on royalties. That is becoming far, far tougher now as many of these political figures will say, you know, that there is absolutely no cost to them to oppose offshore drilling and maybe some benefit.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, before we let you go, what is all this about Virgil Goode now? He used to be a Democrat, then he was an independent, then he was a Republican, now he's a member of the Constitutional Party.
And he says also the Republican Party, that he said he was...
He's both.
He was asked to give the keynote speech at the Constitution Party convention. He was happy to do it. He signed up for them, he said, but he's still a Republican. You know, I've heard rumors that he was in... you know, the Charlottesville area actually doing a fundraiser for an independent Republican running as a third-party candidate in the second district in second congressional district in Hampton Roads. I haven't been able to ascertain that personally, but the fact is, Virgil Goode is what they often call sui generis. He's his own guy,
and there's, I should point out, I mean, I chuckle, but there are voters who really like and respect that.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I heard, I'll just tell you, I heard a great talk the other night by David Plouffe that was Barack Obama's campaign manager. And what Plouffe said is that the voters really value authenticity. In many instances, even if they dislike or are not fully in accord with somebody's views. In my sense, is that that's what political figures like Ken Cuccinelli and Virgil Goode are hoping... have exhibited, and they believe that it can continue to help them. Certainly Cuccinelli does, and there's all this speculation about what, if anything, Virgil Goode's going to do. He seems to say that he's not running in the 5th District, but no one's absolutely positively sure about that yet.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. It's 5 minutes until 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia. And before we let you go, Bob, the... June 8th is the Republican primary for the 5th District. Republicans will choose a candidate to run against incumbent Tom Perriello. So we're just a few weeks out. What's your read on it?
Hard to read. Largely I think what you've seen is that a lot of people still think that Robert Hurt remains the favorite. He has a primary rather than a convention. He's very well known in part of the district. He doesn't seem to be the favorite candidate of the Tea Partiers, but on the other hand, he always seems to do okay in their straw polls, running second or third. Fita Kid Martin, who has almost no money at all, has run actually a pretty strong grassroots campaign, gotten all kinds of Republican conservative activists to endorse her. I've been very impressed with that campaign, though how a campaign without much money can run in a primary, I'm still not absolutely certain about that. Certainly, Lawrence Berger has been very, very active. We have the, Charlottesville Albemarle board member, Mr. Boyd. But my sense is that Hurt probably still remains the favorite, but no one is really going to absolutely be, certain about that, because what you're seeing, as you saw in Utah, is that some of the conservative activists, particularly these new Tea Party folks, were very instrumental, and what they did in Utah was they removed a long-standing Republican senator in a Republican nominating battle. So I think that had to send some shivers through Robert Hurt and his supporters the other day.
Interesting. Bob Holdsworth, the website's VirginiaTomorrow.com every Monday at 4:30. Bob, thank you, sir.
Hey, take care, Coy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.